Good morning. It is wonderful to be here after 3 years. And the storm was very cool. I love things like that. I have been through major biggest earthquake in Taiwan early this year. Now I have been through this storm. I was through a massive ice storm ministering in New Jersey last year. So, got stranded somewhere. So, this wasn't too bad. Well, thank you, you're very kind. It's lovely to meet you, by the way. Lovely to meet you. Thank you. And today I want to share with you a little bit of what I have learned about this morning, about hearing the voice of God. Because hearing the voice of God is one of those things that's really confusing. And we all want to, and we all try, and we hear how, and we spend in this technique or this other way, and if we do this process, if we do that, then we can hear the voice of God. But we still remain confused. And I believe with all my heart, we are living in the days when the clarity of the voice of God has to happen. It is so important. We have gone through such a muddled period where it was hit and miss. Where is it not? I think maybe we are trying. And there has been such a confusion in saying God said when God never said, in thinking God spoke, but it is our soul speaking, when the emotions are louder than the voice of God. And has become a kind of, has brought confusion, but I want to use a stronger word, you know, because many times we have made a mockery of something heavenly, like the voice of God. The voice of God is divine. The voice of God is powerful. And I want to read briefly in Psalm 29, verses 4 to 9, where the psalmist declares the power of the voice of God. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf and makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forests bare. You see, the voice of the Lord is like nothing else. The power of his voice, the power of God said, changes everything. God said, it stops everything in heaven and earth. God said, everything was created because God said. And God said is so powerful. When we know God said, hell cannot stop us. The devil knows the power of God sent. You see, and that is why he causes so much confusion in us knowing God sent. Because once we know that, once we tune into it, through his word, we become unstoppable. Because God sent. You see, there's nothing higher than that. God sent. Complete sovereignty. Just like we do when, if you have kids, you know, we get a period of sovereignty, which I really enjoyed while it lasted. You know, when you say to your kids, that because I said so. There's nothing like it. You know, sovereignty, I said so. And that's it. My daughter hated mom said so. Because she knew that's it. There's no argument. When I pulled that card, it was over. No power could stop what mom said. And you see, that is when we know God said. Everything in heaven, earth, everything in the atmosphere understands and pulls back. God said. But we have to know God said. so that we can see the result of God sent. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, for man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of God's mouth. And one of our problems is that we do not have understanding of what that actually means, because we are so bound to earthly life and earthly culture and earthly perspective. And we urgently have to acquire heavenly perspective. You see, we are in these days, heavenly perspective is pivotal for us, and we have to be intentional. And most of us have grown and lived our Christian lives without realizing how important it is to know the difference between heavenly perspective and earthly perspective. You see, and because of that, we are stuck most of the time pedaling and pedaling, not getting anywhere. But, you know, there is acceleration in the kingdom. And we have entered into the greatest kingdom acceleration the world has ever seen and will ever see. It's the most amazing thing. It's not one day that's going to come. It has come. We are here now. Atmospheres have shifted. And it's happening all over the kingdom of God, which is the exciting part. I am in a different part of the world every single week of my life. And it is happening from one side of the planet to the other, because the kingdom of God is moving the same everywhere. And that's the important thing. We are part of it. And the kingdom is moving. But, you know, one day Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he was telling them the things that were going to happen to him when he got to Jerusalem. And so it wasn't really good news. They were going to take him, you know, jail him. They were going to beat him up and then kill him and the whole thing. And they were listening to it. And there is Peter. I absolutely love Peter. I can't wait to have coffee with Peter in heaven. Peter is one of my heroes in the Bible, because Peter blew it a few times. You know, Peter was not afraid of making mistakes. And that's one of the greatest problems we have with Christians, the fear of making mistakes. What if I make a mistake? What if I blow it? Well, if that were a problem, I wouldn't be here. I'm sure I have made more mistakes than all of you. In the last 40-some years, I have walked with God. I've known God. And you have no idea, I can write a book of mistakes. And God has very kindly not given up on me. And he has proven to me that when we make mistakes, but our heart is willing to repent, he can work with us and bring something good out of ashes. And so, but Peter was not afraid of it. He was just real. He was himself. He blew it more than once. But the amazing thing is, Peter, of all the 12 disciples, knew Jesus in a way no one else did. None of the other disciples knew the restoration that Peter experienced because he made mistakes. None of the other 12 disciples had that connection, that real connection with Jesus like Peter did. He knew the love, he knew the compassion, he knew the mercy, he knew what it was like to be restored. And I'm sorry, there's people who say inner healing is not in the Bible. Yes, it is in the Bible. The first proof of inner healing is right there in the Bible. You know, and here we have my friend Frank, who is a professional in this. But inner healing 101 is right there in the Bible. The first case of inner healing happened with Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times over a charcoal fire. Then Jesus recreates the whole event, takes him back to the memory in a charcoal fire on the beach. And on the charcoal fire, he calls him to start there, the trigger of his biggest mistake, his greatest regret, a charcoal fire. And Jesus is there just as he was when he denied him close by. He brings it back to a charcoal fire. 3 times Peter denied Jesus. 3 times Jesus said, "Do you love me more than this?" One for each time. to heal and replace the lie with the truth. You see, three times Peter said, I love you. He said, Jesus said, if you deny, everybody was going to leave him and that. And Peter said, not me. Even if everyone leaves you, I will stand with you, saying, he was implying, I love you more than they. But then he failed. And then Jesus said to him in the charcoal fire, do you love me more than them? He restored everything in that charcoal fire. You see, tell me the healing is not in the Bible. Jesus did the first in the healing ever. So cool. Everything is in the Bible. Did you know that? Isn't that cool? He went back to the memory, recreated it, brought the charcoal fire three times more, told me more than them. Everything is right there. We can write a book on the healing just on the charcoal fire and Peter. You see? But all these things are so powerful. And so there is Peter. When Jesus is telling them, you know, what was going to happen to him. And Peter says to Jesus, I mean, this is Peter who just had a great revelation of, you are the Son of God, you know, you are the Messiah. And Jesus says, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. I bet he felt like, wow, I'm better than all these guys. I got it. And now, there he is. You see? His mistakes kept him humble. And so he says to Jesus, when Jesus gave them those news, he takes him aside and rebukes him. Like, seriously, who does that? He rebukes him after he had a revelation of, you are the Son of God, the Messiah. He rebukes him. And he says to Jesus, heaven forbid that happens to you. Now, this is me paraphrasing because I think Peter and I think very alike, you know. And so I probably would have done the same thing, knowing me. And so he says to Jesus, and what he's saying to Jesus is, like, seriously, you know, if you know that's going to happen to you, don't go there. Common sense, right? Heaven forbid that happens to you. Why would that happen to you? If you know, then go the other way. You see? And then Jesus said to him, and this is Jesus. He said to him, get behind me, Satan. Because, and this is so powerful, and this is so necessary right now, and you will hear me say this today and tomorrow a lot. Because he said to him, you are, get behind me, Satan, because you are a deadly trap to me. Another version says, you are a stumbling block to me because, and this is the important part, because you process everything through human perspective and not heavenly perspective. You see, human perspective is your deadly trap, is your stumbling block, and mine too, is our stumbling block, is our deadly trap. And we have to be very careful. We do not live with human perspective. Another version reads, you are a deadly trap to me, a stumbling block to me, because you process everything according to what is important to man and not to God. That is the meaning of human perspective. It's when you process everything according to what is important here on earth, what is important to you, what is important to man, and not to God. You see, and we have to learn to discern what perspective we are living in today. Because everything, we even process a scripture through human perspective, applying it, processing it in our earthly minds. And that's why we are not seeing the fullness of what we are supposed to see and live. You know, we process the promises of God according to human perspective. We process prophecies according to human perspective. You see, and that's one of the reasons why we get stuck and are not advancing, and many are not receiving what the promises of God. Because it's all a matter of understanding, getting heavenly perspective about perspective. You know, living in heavenly perspective is a choice of mindset, a choice of thinking, a choice of learning. about what is important to God, how God does he process things, how does the scripture do, what Holy Spirit, Jesus, you know, our beautiful Trinity. We cannot separate the Trinity, the God who is three and the three who is one. And, you know, everything hinges on heavenly perspective. And I promise you, on God's authority, that as you do, you will see his kingdom come. You will see his power. You will see everything Jesus promised, everything that is in the Bible manifesting, because he wants to. He wants to. But human perspective is our greatest hindrance, and that depends on us. It's not God who will change it. It's not the devil. It's us. We're the ones who choose to live in earthly human perspective, not heavenly. So, you see, everything has to be processed for us through heavenly perspective. It's so different. Through human perspective, what Jesus just said was absolutely horrible. It was the worst possible thing, and it had to be changed. It had to be stopped. It could not be done. Can't happen, Peter said. From heavenly perspective, it was the greatest thing that could happen. It was the redemption of mankind. It was the restoration of everything. It was our freedom. You see, it was the most wonderful thing. Most of the things we go through here on earth have a heavenly perspective that we cannot perceive because we are bound to human perspective. This is the most terrible thing. How could this possibly happen to you? How can it happen to me? Why is God doing this? What is wrong with him? Doesn't he love me? He's letting he just let my goldfish die. If he knew how much I loved Goldie, he would have not done it. If he loved me, Goldie would be alive. He would have rescued him. You see, human perspective. But from heavenly perspective, there is a whole other realm, a whole other reasoning. You see that we miss, that we have to learn to acquire. Because then everything on earth will change for us. And our journey will be easier and better, even if the circumstances suck, because they do sometimes. You see, but here, heavenly perspective changed the valley of weeping into a place of refreshing springs. Heavenly perspective. So, Jesus said, for man does not live by bread alone. Because of human perspective, we don't live that. Because on earth, nobody does. Because in our earthly realm, we have learned selective hearing. Just like our children, selective hearing. What we like is what we keep. The rest, we don't pay attention. You see, I had this lady in my church. I used to pastor, I don't anymore, but I pastored for over 20 years. And so she came into my office one day very upset. And because I traveled too, when I was pastoring, I could only pastor like part-time. One third of my time I was pastoring, two-thirds traveling. And so now it's pretty much full-time traveling. But anyway, so I didn't have time for a lot of nonsense. So, you know, I only have this time, so let's get to it. So I always felt so bad for the people in my church, especially when they volunteered to come into my office. You see, and I was going to make one of those plaques that say, beware of dog, but I was going to say, beware of pastor, you know. But I was so grateful that the inner healing of people had an office next to mine. I'm sure people came out of this and went straight into that after they talked to me. I'm sure of that. And so she walked into my office and said, Isabel, I am very frustrated because you keep telling us over and over and over that, you know, the Bible is true and the Word of God never fails. But I can prove to you that is not true because the Bible says that God will give us the desires of our hearts, right? It's true. It says that. And she said, so I have never, ever, ever in my whole Christian life received the desires of my heart. I see other people getting them, but I have never, ever gotten the desires of my heart, not only once. And it was actually true. I knew her. And she said, so how can you tell me the Word of God is true if it's not happening? It has never happened. I could not even tell you one time it has happened. So She said, I am not so sure I believe what you preach anymore. And I said, well, dear, I can fix that very easily since you came into my office voluntarily. I get to talk freely. I didn't call you. You see, when you call somebody, you have to behave more. And I said, right, Pastor? You call somebody in your office, you have to behave more. But a volunteer, that's free form. And so I said to her, I can fix it very easily. I said, have you ever read the first part of that verse in your whole entire life? Delight yourself in the Lord. And conditional. This is a conditional promise. Read the Bible. It's a conditional promise. Delight yourself in the Lord, and as a result of that, He will give you the desires of your heart. It is so easy. It's a guarantee. You don't have to fight it, claim it, or anything. It is a guarantee. If you do the first part of the verse, you will get the second one without problem. Delight yourself in the Lord. And I said to her, my dear, I have known you for whatever many years as a friend and as a pastor. And I can tell you, I have never, ever, ever seen you delight in the Lord, ever. Ever. That's not a lifestyle or a behavior you have. You do not delight in the Lord. So, but I can tell you what you delight in. Said, you delight greatly in complaining. You have great delight in anger. Anger delights your heart tremendously. You delight in negativity. You delight in gossip. You delight, I went through the list. I said, I watch you. You're my friend. I'm your pastor too. I know you on both levels. I can tell you what your heart delights in. But I have never seen you delight in him. Said, if you were getting the desires of your heart, I would have to get a big time lawyer and sue the Bible. Because that means the Bible is lying to me. I said, because the Bible is true all the way. I said, this is very easy to fix. Delight in the Lord. What does delight in the Lord mean? It comes from a Hebrew word. It comes from the Hebrew. I like the Hebrew because the Hebrew is a language of pictures. Everything is with pictures, so it's easier for me. And I think with pictures. I see things. So anyway, delight, the word delight in Hebrew that is used there is also in Psalm 1 verse 2, delight in the word of the Lord. It means lean, bend towards him. Bend towards the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You see, I love that because what you bend towards is what you delight in, what your heart bends towards. So, you know, what do you lean towards? How do you spend your life? What are you bent towards? The problems. If you live your life leaning towards the problems, the hurts, the frustrations, the past, you know, all those, the complaining, the pains, the sickness, that's what you are delighting in, on. So you will not get the desires of your heart. And that includes your promises and your prophecies. It's very simple. Lean towards him. Face life. Do everything leaning towards him. Face the challenges, the problems, making sure you are bent towards him in all things. And guaranteed you will get the desires of your heart. Imagine how easy that is. But heavenly perspective versus earthly human perspective, that's what makes it so complicated. What does it mean? How do we do this? You know, but